Well, praise the Lord. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. There's a whole lot of confusion and things going on in the earth today, but God is still with us. He's still on the throne, and He's still doing just what He said He would do. He's watching over His word to perform it, and we are blessed and happy to be here tonight. And I just want to open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank You that You are with us tonight, wherever we may be. Your children, You love us and You care for us and You are watching over us. And we have no need to fear. Help us to walk in wisdom in everything we say and do, and let our lives be glorifying to You, God. And we just ask You tonight, Lord, anoint this teaching. Help me leave off anything I should and make sure that, Lord, that I bring out what You want in this lesson tonight. And I thank You for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. My title tonight is On Flowing with Authority. And I looked up this word. I have an idea of what it meant, but it's always good to look something up to see, because sometimes there's a deeper meaning than we know. And in the Hebrew, the word authority, it is exousia. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. And it means lawful, or permission to, or liberty to do as one pleases. Now, when we're thinking about doing as we please, that means as we're pleasing to God, not just doing our own thing and forgetting how we're going to live, but pleasing to God. Psalms 8:6 says, "You have put Him in charge of everything You've made, and everything is put under His authority." He's talking about Jesus. Psalms 29:2, "With good and righteous men in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, the people groan." Now, Jesus has all authority, but He's given us authority. In Matthew 9, verses 5 and 6, He said, "I, the Messiah," and this is from the Living Bible, "I, the Messiah, have the authority on earth to forgive sins. But talk is cheap. Anybody could say that. So I'll prove it to you by healing this man." Then turning to the paralyzed man, He commanded, "Pick up your stretcher and go home and be healed." And I read a commentary on that, and it was saying that all of us could say, "Well, I forgive you of your sins," but we could never prove that because we can't see if a person has been forgiven of sins. But we can see if a person that is lame and sick gets up from their bed and walks. And that's why Jesus did that like that. He wanted to prove His authority in the earth. And that same translation, that same verse in the Passion Translation says, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? But now to convince you that the Son of Man has been given authority in to forgive sins, I say to this man, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk home." And I've got quite a few scriptures tonight that I'm going to read. And I'm wanting to kind of give you an idea about what authority is and how Jesus explained it in the Bible and how it was brought out. So in Matthew 10:1 in the Living Bible, Jesus called His 12 disciples and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of sickness and disease. And that same verse in the Passion Translation says, "Jesus sends out His 12 apostles. He gathered His 12 disciples and imparted to them authority to cast out demons and to heal every sickness and every disease." And there was a footnote in this version, and it said, "The number 12 speaks of governmental authority. Israel had 12 tribes. Jesus chose 12 disciples, whom they called apostles. And the authority Jesus gave them is what He had already displayed or demonstrated." Now, in Colossians 2:15, Jesus, it says, "Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness. He stripped away their every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power that they used to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. He went into hell, and I know the devil thought that they had won, but Jesus went into hell and led them around as prisoners. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And in Colossians 3 at 1, it says, we're one with Christ in glory. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection also. That is why we yearn for all that is above. For that is where Christ sits enthroned and at the place of all power, honor, and authority. And I know I have a lot of scriptures, but I'll try to bring it all together. Luke 10:19. And this is what Jesus said. And I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And to walk among serpents and scorpions and to crush them, nothing shall injure you. That was the Living Bible. Here's the Passion again. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom, talking about the enemy. You will trample upon every demon. You will overcome every power that Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. And there's a footnote, snakes and scorpions. That's what it literally means. So we have the power of anything that the devil throws at us, we can overpower him in Jesus' name. In Romans 13:1-4, it says, obey the government. Now, we're talking about authority in the government now, not just the church or the disciples or whatnot, but the government. Obey the government, for God is the one who has put it there. You know, when we have time for voting and people get voted in, sometimes we don't do our part and go vote, so we really can't complain anyway. But what we need to remember is who actually gets voted in. God has allowed it. God has placed them there. There is no government anywhere that God has not placed in power. And this is the Living Bible. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. For the policeman does not frighten people who are doing right, but those who are doing evil will fear him. Now, I'm going to speak for myself here. When I'm driving down the road, most of the time now I'm doing the speed limit. I've learned some lessons by paying tickets. But I try to ask the Lord to help me so that I don't get my mind on other things and kind of forget how fast I'm going. But I know a lot of times I'm doing the speed limit, but when I see the cop sitting on the side, still I have a little tinge of fear. I'm immediately looking down at my speedometer to make sure, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to honor those in authority. And so we're supposed to do the speed limit. We're not supposed to run stop signs, because that's the authority put over us. Amen? And the policeman is sent by God to help us. But if you're doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, because there's a price to pay. He is sent by God for that very purpose. And I'm not going to read this other translation, I don't think. Well, I'm sorry, I will. Romans 13:1-4 in the Passion. Our relationship to civil authorities. Every person must submit and support the authorities over himself, for there can be no authority in the universe except that's by God's appointment, which means that every authority that exists has been instituted by God. So to resist authority is to resist the divine order of God, and we know that God is a God of order, which results in severe consequences. Now, God being a God of order, it's the opposite. He's not a God of confusion. So we had to set these things in order so that we can have peace. And that's how we get peace, is when we obey God's rules. Amen? And for civil authorities, don't intimidate those who are doing good, but those who are doing evil. So do what is right, and you'll never need to fear those in authority. And they will actually commend you for your good citizenship. Those that are in authority are God's servants and for the good of society. But if you break the law, you have a reason to be alarmed, for they are waiting to serve punishment in whatever way, whether it's a ticket, and I've had my share, or whatever. That's a little laugh maybe, but wasn't funny when I got the ticket. It's funny now because I'm past that. In a book called The Authority of the Believer by Francis Jonah, he said, a lot of believers can be heard still praying for authority. Now, you know I spoke earlier about what Jesus said, I've given you power and authority in the earth. But he said, Francis said, after praying for authority, even though we've already supposed to have it, they wait for a certain manifestation to tell them that they've received the authority. And in the absence of such manifestations, they just keep praying. Jesus gave his authority to the disciples, even though they hadn't asked him to do that. So Jesus, as a believer, he has already given us authority in the earth. In Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the word translated power is authority. You don't have to pray for it. It's already been given to you by the blood bought, to the blood-bought believers. It is a present-day reality. You must acknowledge it and use it. Mark 16:17 says, and these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. And verse 18 says, they'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Don't be confused about it. You have authority. Wherever you are right now, shout it to yourself. I have authority. I will use it to build the kingdom of God. If you don't know you have something, then you won't be able to use it. Francis Jonas said that he had a $20 bill that he hid in his billfold, and he forgot about it. And one day, he ran out of gas, and he started searching through his billfold, and he found the $20 bill. He had carried it around for months and didn't use it because he didn't know he had it. It was still just as much his. He still had it, but because he didn't know he had it, he didn't use it. God is trying to tell us that we can use his authority because it is already ours. What are the qualifications? Born again. If you're a born-again believer, you qualify to use the authority of God. John G. Lake said, when by the study of his word, God's word, and the revelation of God's spirit, it became a fact in my soul that God's purposes were no less in me than it was for the Lord Jesus. And it is no less for you and me as younger brethren than it was in Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Christ was the seed from God to bring forth a harvest. He died on the cross. He went into the ground. And when he came out, he was a harvest. And now, as blood-bought believers, we are that harvest, and we are to harvest others. We are to add to that harvest and build the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4:11 says, and this is where we bring in the church, the authority in the church, not just the believer. Ephesians 4:11 in the Passion Translation, and he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. The same verse in the Amplified, and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, which were special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, and some pastors and shepherds and teachers. Now, when I stood up here tonight, it was because the one in authority in the church over me asked me to. So I followed his lead, and I did what he said. And he gave me the authority to do it in the church. He gave me the authority to speak. I'm a praise and worship leader, and I ask people to come up and help me sing, and they flow with me. I'll say, you do this part, or you play this, or let's do this verse again, and they flow with me. And that's them following the authority that I have, as I have followed the authority pastor's given me. And so, just last week, we heard Wanda Phillips teach on this same subject of flowing with authority. And she mentioned that if we have a problem with the authority over us, that we should go and talk to them. Now, I wouldn't suggest you do that publicly. If we were in the place where the church was all coming in, gathering together like we normally would do, just not at this time, I wouldn't go up to the pastors to question them where other people could hear me questioning them about something, because then somebody else could hear it and that could cause a division. So at the time that if I feel that I need to talk with them about something I don't agree or I don't understand, then I go to them, to their cells, and I talk with them, because, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55:9 that God says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours." So this is how I look at it. My pastor may tell me to do something that I don't understand, because he may have a different view of the whole thing. I don't see everything he sees, because God has given him the broader picture. I don't know everything he knows, because he's the pastor and God's anointed him to pastor. And just like the church administrator, I don't know everything he knows. And I have questions, and sometimes I go to him and ask if I don't understand. And we got a little joke around here that we say, "Ish knows." Well, most of the time he does, but if he doesn't, he'll go ask pastor. So you'll always go to a higher up in authority. And we don't argue with those in authority over us, because we don't have the same calling they have. And this is one last tidbit I want to give you on that. If I don't understand and I don't agree, I still need to obey, because they answer to God for what they tell me to do. And at that point, I don't need to worry about it. I just give it to God and pray about it. Amen? And the Passion Translation, Philippians 2:10, "The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm." And I want to leave you with this tonight. This is something we've been doing because of the coronavirus. We're not in agreement with the coronavirus. We're not going to be in fear. There are people getting sick, and we do need to do our social distancing. But God has given us scripture to cover ourselves with his word. And so I want to leave you with Psalms 91 from the Amplified Bible. And the title over this particular psalm in the Amplified says, "Security of the one who trusts in the Lord. He who dwells in the secret, in the shelter of the Most High, will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust with great confidence and on whom I rely. For he will save you from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you and completely protect you with his pinions. Under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night nor the arrow that flies by day. And I interject this. If you're afraid right now because of what's going on, just read this scripture over and over. You won't be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness nor the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 might fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you. You will only be a spectator as you look on with your eyes and witness what the wicked has for a result. And you can watch safely from the shelter of the Most High. Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels in regard for you to protect and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. They will lift you up in their hands. You'll tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him. No, never. He will call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and I will let him see my salvation. Because God is a good God and you remind him of his word and he does keep his word. He's not a man that he should lie.
Praise the Lord. That was an awesome word, Patty. So good. And Patty has been here for several years, and she is a blessing, And she's always, she does do what Pastor and I ask her to do, and she's just always a huge blessing to Oasis Christian Center and to us. And before we close out the service tonight, I just want to give you an opportunity, if you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life tonight, to ask him into your heart, into your life as your Lord and Savior. So if you will, bow your heads with me at this time and just repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I surrender my life to you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So if you pray that prayer with us tonight, you are saved. You are born again tonight. And God in all of glory is rejoicing over you. And we rejoice over you tonight, too. Amen.